be under former Yugoslavia, to be in to not have that expectation of death either. And I think that that's really important to know as we look at any other conflict in the last 20 years, being integrated back into the world where you think you have hope and opportunity, it's a total trip. It's you have to learn to live again. And I think that there's something to be said about that strength in choosing life again, in choosing to make it work, to try to pick up the pieces of what was once your life. And I do think that that makes Bosnia very palpable. And Ivana's right. Every single person who does in my family, they felt absolutely touched by Sarajevo in particular.
So again, this is The Occupant, and I'm speaking with Ivana Horvat and Adrian Hofgarten about their new film from Llama Mama Productions called Finding Bosnia. It's going to be showing at Clinton Street Theater on October 11th at 3 p.m. The film is about Ivana's return to her childhood home of Sarajevo, where she fled at the age of 4, initially with her mother, and then you were reunited with your father. Is that what happened?
Yeah, we lived momentarily in Munich, Germany, and Malaysia, eventually moved to Portland, and my dad was reunited with his family at the end of the war.
This interview is happening under the auspices of The Occupant, and it's a ongoing conversation regarding what it means to be home, like we talked about earlier. And I'm curious what you were saying, Adrian, about the effect that living in a war zone has on the people, with death being so immediate and the psychological impact that it has on people and how they deal with that with dark humor. I have some friends who are Palestinian, and I find that they have an incredibly dark humor. But it's hilarious, man. I mean, it's like, whoa, I can't believe you went there, and I can't believe I'm laughing this hard at what you just said. That's just bizarre, but somehow they seem to make it work. It's almost as if they adopt humor as their mode of insanity to deal with an insane situation. You know, it's sort of that psychological tool that seems to work very well. But then there's also, like you were saying, with the signing of the Dayton Accords, then you have the post-insanity period where a lot of this, you know, this is completely from my own imagination, but I can imagine, based on what I know and people that I've met and experiences I've read about, if you're in such a situation, you sort of, I think I would have to detach from where I'm at, because I know that the choice to remain attached is at any moment could be taken away from me by a bullet. So I would almost not be there anymore. I would probably have to adopt some psychological process that removed me from the immediacy and the horror that I was seeing. And then it becomes a matter of how do you return back to your home? And I'm just curious if you have any insight into like what you may have seen about people re-finding Bosnia, even people who stayed in Sarajevo, and how they sort of returned to this material plane, especially holding this human psychology in their head, and with the Dayton Accords, maybe how that's been interrupted.
So, I would like to describe you, your question is interesting in that you're talking about Bosnians who not only live in Bosnia still, and also Bosnian refugees like Ivana around the world who do end up going back. And again, I always call the journey of going back a double-edged sword, in that Ivana has this tremendous sense of guilt where she grew up in America. She got to go to college. She got to play soccer. She doesn't remember the war like at all. She doesn't have these scars of war. Yet her not having her family, her grandmother around, her cousins, not knowing them very much at all until 2012, that hurts. that there's this in between, this guilt of being so happy to be American, and or for example, our friend, he's a Parisian. There's a different sense of entitlement there that's not there for the Bosnians. So for Ivana, the double-edged sword is learning her culture. She gets to get integrated in it. She goes, she discovers this amazing place. And of course, there the scars remain. They're much more prevalent than being a Bosnian Australian, for example, from Melbourne. Like, there's so many Bosnians abroad. And when they come back, and this is something that I found incredibly interesting when I was there in 2012, they are... The Bosnians would joke, well, yeah, you know, as soon as the Bosnian refugees come back, well, they take us out to drinks and we milk them for everything they got, you know, and it's a joke. And they're so happy to see their friends from abroad, but they're still not Bosnian. And that's something that really blew my mind, that weren't considered the same, but yet they are still the same. And there's this complicated in-betweenness when you are a refugee. Even Ivana's mom, Ivana told me this story about going back recently, and someone said, oh, in their language, in Tanya's language, oh, look at that lady over there. And Tanya, of course, she's very strong, probably one of the strongest women I know, and very elegantly gets up, doesn't say anything, and then as she leaves, she just, you know, kind of makes a nod and makes sure they know that she speaks their language. And I think that that's something that happens when you are gone, that you're different, and that makes you somehow different from the rest.
And that's why I keep talking about the whole living in between two cultures thing. Maybe I should explain it better, but everyone I've talked to who currently lives outside of Bosnia but was born and raised in Bosnia, older generations, they don't have a home. So they can love their life in Portland or Vancouver, Canada, or Paris, and they can be very well assimilated. They can have their friends, they can have their careers, they can have their money, but they're still not at home because they still will never be accepted into this new society like they were back home in Yugoslavia. And the sad part is, and the nostalgic part is, when they go back, they're still not accepted there as Bosnians, because the life and the home that was there before the war is no longer exists. That's completely gone. Not just because Yugoslavia was split up, but just the war has changed the people in the town. A lot of people left, a lot of new people who are somewhat different and are from outside of town moved in and transformed Sarajevo into a completely different place. So now, even if those older generations, like my parents' friends from Paris or like my parents or whoever, go back, that's not their city anymore. And for me, I was fortunate enough to be so young because I can, that is my city now because I've reappropriated it to be mine because I didn't know what it was before. Some people have such a hard time who are, of the older generation and are finding Bosnia hits on a lot of themes of time and generation, difference between the generations. It took certain people 20 years to realize that they've been living in Portland or Paris, but their spirits weren't there. They were always thinking, you know, home is back there. Home is in Sarajevo. This is like... I'm going to be living in this in between place, but home is always there.
And then they return.
And then they realize that whoa, that's not my home either. Like that period of my life is gone. It's been 20 years and I just realized this.
And I don't want, maybe if you don't want to go into this, that's fine. But this is your parents that you're talking about here?
This is my parents and my parents' friends who are also Bosnian diaspora.
What have they shared with you about how that is for them?
I think finding Bosnia shows that they they can't fit into the new Bosnia or into what Bosnia is now, which is why Ivana brings such hope and is able to integrate herself and not have her experience shadowed by what theirs were. And in the movie and ultimately in her timeline of her experience there, we started going with what she knew and what her parents knew. So Ivana went to Paris to meet up with her mom and dad's best friend. She stayed with them for a week to see what it was like to be a refugee, a Bosnian refugee in Paris. Then Ivana
went...
But
we're not refugees anymore, so...
Yeah, they're not...
I'm like very... Yeah. They're Bosnian... French Bosnians.
Let's talk about that in a second, but keep going. Yeah.
Bosnian, Parisian, or whatever, yeah. Right? Being a Bosnian of some sort abroad. But she went there, and then she went to Bosnia to meet her family, to understand, to kind of live out the Bosnia home, the home Bosnia that her mother, and by home Bosnia, let's say Sarajevo, because it really isn't all of Bosnia, to be correct, I would call it being in Sarajevo. And her mom and her father had this legacy and the stories and their friends and the family that Ivana went to be with to try to understand what Bosnia, quote unquote, is.
But I was looking for the Bosnia of their past, and that was my initial mistake and my initial phase of my trip. So I was trying to find something that was gone instead of being in the present.
How did it happen, and when did it happen, and how was it to realize that that was the case?
Probably just having really intense conversations with my mother on this island in Croatia, telling her, having her yell at me and asking me to stop filming because this movie wasn't about her and her friends and it was about me. But I'm desperately trying to explain to her, my Bosnia is you. Your Bosnia is mine, because that's all I had at that moment. It was early on in my trip. I have to go through you and to get to where I need to be, because you're my connection to this place. They were my only connection. Like I said earlier in the interview, my Bosnia was my dad and my mom. So I started going through what they knew, because my first introduction to Bosnia was, hey, I'm going to stay with Senka and Vezo and their son Haris in Paris, who knew my parents from high school. And I hear their stories. And then I go home and people, to Sarajevo, excuse me, and I'm hearing, you know, stories about my family I'd never heard. And, oh, you're Tanya and Nino's daughter. And I'm hearing all these old stories, and it sounds like such an amazing moment in time. You know, Tito was the dictator. Everyone had free health care, free education. The economy was booming. Sarajevo was producing so many talented musicians and playwrights and artists and athletes, and it was the time to be Yugoslav. They hosted the Winter Olympics of 1984. It was just such a proud moment for this country and just such a good time to be alive. And to listen to this older generation talk about that time, it seems like truly a true utopia. And so of course I'm going to go back there and be like, I want that. I'm going to find that for myself. But reality check, Ivana, that doesn't exist anymore. And imagine how hard that is for the people who actually lived it to come to terms with.
Does any of that show up in the film of your mom sort of being like, it's time to turn off the camera now?
And yeah, it's in the first 15 minutes. She sees it and laughs. She's like, I can't believe what I look like when I'm angry.
Wow, that sounds heavy right there.
Yeah.
That's, wow. I'm sorry that happened to her.
Mm-hmm. It happened to a lot of people.
Yeah. So your film called Finding Bosnia is going to be playing at Clinton Street Theater on October 11th at 3 p.m. That's a Sunday. Go ahead, Adrian.
I would also, Ivana used the word, she was like, well, that was my mistake. She said that she opened this all up with that. And that's not a mistake. That's just not being totally blind to what Bosnia was and being like, okay, I'm going to start from what the path of my parents and try to get it. And people, some feedback from when we've screened it, were, well, why are we going to Paris? And that for us was an example of, because that her best friends were Tanya's best friends, Nino's best friends, her parents' best friends were a part of their Bosnia. So Ivana, I would not call that a mistake, but I do think that as Ivana try to explore more the nostalgia that her parents had, her family had. They describe this time. They have memories of little tiny Ivana. And for me, that was like really fun to hear about. But by the time I actually got there, Ivana had already made a huge friend, like a very large, for being there only 3 months, she had like 8 really close friends, 4 of which have become best friends. So Ivana had her own quote-unquote raya. Raya means posse, essentially, in Bosnian. And so for me, I jump in, and Ivana's like, oh my God, I really couldn't explore the past Sarajevo anymore. Like, and I was all vamped up because I've read textbooks, I've looked at countless horrible videos, I've watched documentaries, and I'm trying to get myself all ready for being there. And Ivana goes, Adrian, you gotta put that stuff aside and just be in the moment. And again, that's something where having friends, it was the coolest thing for me to see was Ivana creating a friend group and creating a contemporary Bosnia, not one that was clouded and totally shaped by her parents. Now, her parents' friends had kids, and those kids came back. And those kids had friends who were locals, and that became Ivana's way of exploring the city and getting to learn more. Luckily, she got to stay there for 7 months and really make those relationships thrive. And so she got to be in that moment in 2012. I think for both of us going back this past time in 2015 for the film festival, even for me, it was hard. It was sad. It was amazing. It was a dream come true getting to share our film with the people who made it. And it's also so hard to see the resignation and hopelessness that is there now. And that makes it really, it's one thing to remember 2012. It's this place of time in both of our lives that it just is always going to be a magical moment, especially the month for both Ivana and I. The month that I was there, we were in it every single moment. It was just an amazing experience. This time going back, not only were we having to make the movie and get the subtitles done and you name it, man, like we were working our butts off before our premiere, but it was the desire to try to make the most of the moment while having all these responsibilities and also seeing that our friends had changed. More resigned, more hopeless.
Just in 3 years or something?
Just in 3 years.
Do you think it's because of your perception or do you think something is happening in Bosnia that's furthering this?
Just time. I mean, we've talked to them. My closest friend there is now has left and now he's living in Slovenia. It's like a reoccurring problem. Nobody wants to stay. If you can get it out, you take it. Unfortunately, my cousin has described Bosnia as a black hole. You can't really get out, right? And you're stuck there, and you're stuck with the stagnation that's surrounding you because of, you know, a lot of things, because of a history of war, because of unresolved tensions among the people, because of the Dayton Accords, because of the politics. There's just no movement forward, and that's, like Adrian said, depressing to see young people who are so early in their 20s who already have a sense of hopelessness.
So at what point in the movie does this start to transcend Bosnia and become about human beings dealing with these type of issues? It sounds like it happens fairly soon in the movie.
I think the whole movie is that. Like, since the whole backbone of the movie is exploring what Bosnia is, but what any city is, what any country is its people. And that's why the movie starts in Portland. That's why we go to Paris, because we're finding Bosnia through the people that I met, that we met. You're basically getting to sit in on different conversations I had with people. And fortunately for Adrian and I, we're very personable people, so we can sit and just pretend like the camera's not even there and really, you know, get down to the core with someone when you're talking. You're having a genuine conversation. And it's like almost the viewers, like almost eavesdroppings. It seems really personal. So I think throughout the film, you can extract some sort of universal humanity out of any scene. I believe that.
We're talking about the film Finding Bosnia. Be showing at Clinton Street Theater on October 11th, Sunday at 3 p.m. I'm here with the filmmakers Ivana Horvat and Adrian Hofgarten. The film recently showed at the Sarajevo Film Festival. It's also on slate for the Sarajevo International Film Festival, and it's also slated to be at the St. Louis International Film Festival. Again, that's October 11th at 3 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. It's a film that starts out with Ivana's return to her home of Sarajevo, Bosnia, and then ends up exploring many other themes. Just wanted to just follow up on one thing that you said earlier, Ivana. It's no longer refugees. What's up with your
correction?
Yeah, well, and you were so strong about that.
So the war, it's like any question about any question about Bosnia is like impossible to answer without going into the history. You have to understand the context of the history to understand what I'm talking about in the present. But I think there's a huge sense of pride that Sarajevans had as members of Yugoslavia because it was a cosmopolitan city. It was Europe. And the fact that a war happened in such a cosmopolitan urban city, a four-year siege, excuse me, is just another issue entirely of itself. But Bosnian refugees are different than a lot of refugees because they did come from such like a highly developed city. Like I said, it was cosmopolitan. So there's this sense of pride. Everyone's educated. My mother was a doctor. She comes from a, you know, generations of doctors. Everyone is this really accomplished, highly educated person. And then to be put into the role of a refugee, and you kind of think of the word as refugee as something else. So I think that the pride comes in there a lot. Not really for me, just speaking from older generations I've talked to. The reason I kind of jumped in earlier about the whole coining of the using of the word refugee is, at this point, I think that calling myself a refugee is just not accurate. It's kind of just victimizing myself. And if I can say anything about Bosnians is that they aren't asking for anyone's sympathy. They're strong in and of their own right. They're not trying to victimize themselves and portraying themselves to the world as these poor people. Look what happened to us. Listen to our sob stories. And even if there are so many, so many horrible stories that I can't even think about right now because I can't handle it, it's like you're not a victim. We're stronger than that. And I think that kind of term of the word victim comes into play when you use refugee. And it's labeling someone and giving people a different connotation of that person just with that one word. It makes it a sad tale. Right. And it's not.
I think that when you use the term refugee, ultimately, a refugee is a victim of something traumatic and horrible that has happened, whether it's a natural disaster, whether it is a civil disaster inside of a country. Yes, unfortunately, you are a victim if you are a refugee of something that happened that is traumatic. I have, and Ivana has, tremendous respect for people who have the chutzpah to make their lives wherever they end up. And Bosnians have a lot of pride. Her mother and father have every right to be incredibly proud of what they've accomplished in having Ivana not only live safely in America, but she's a college graduate and she has her own production company. What an amazing sacrifice that they had being refugees at that time, victims of war, quote unquote, but they have journeyed a long road to be American citizens, and they are citizens of this world. So anyone who puts down refugees and only call them victims, they're coming from a privileged place and are not recognizing the roads that those people have to take. And I have tremendous respect. We both have tremendous respect for those journeys that they have to do to create their new homes wherever they are. And those people, as much as the Bosnians who are abroad, do have pride being, having assimilated into whatever culture they ended up after the war. I don't think that belittling that experience is something that you can easily do when someone's trying to recreate home.
And I guess words do have power, and there comes a point when any victim hopefully will transition into being a survivor. And I think from my own understanding of the word, that a refugee is in the process of surviving. And it remains to be seen how it'll turn out. But there is definitely a certain immediacy about the term refugee that does sort of imply, hey, this person might need a little extra attention if they're going to turn into a survivor, which we hope that, of course, any and all of us would become.
Right. I think that's what irked me about calling myself. I mean, we call, in the synopsis, we use the word refugee just because it's to the point people understand that word. But am I going to introduce myself in an interview as a Bosnian refugee? No, I'm not calling myself a refugee. Like, just because of what you said, I don't think I can no longer call myself that, because I'm not. I've come out of that place, and I've come out of it. I don't know.
Yeah, she's survived and she's thriving.
Yeah, but there's no. I don't think there's a word for that. You know, so it's like it becomes this.
Yeah,
thing.
A post refugee?
Right. Yeah, I don't think we have a term for somebody who's sort of come out of the other end of being a refugee, other than. Person.
Yeah. Person.
You know,
yeah.
You know, it's just, you just sort of, mm-hmm. Well, you're back on an even keel here. And, but it maybe is worth sort of thinking about, because maybe, I don't know, survivor, maybe we could give that a little bit more credibility and respect. I don't know. That's maybe a topic for another discussion. Maybe you guys have to come back and maybe do a film on survivors in general and what that means. Because I think there's a lot there that we just don't talk about.
Yes.
Yes. I'm a survivor.
I was just about to sing that.
We'll take our cue from Yonce.
Yeah. Okay. Once again, I'm Jimmy Tardy. This is The Occupant. I've been speaking with Ivana Horvat and Adrian Hofgarten about their film Finding Bosnia. Be showing at Clinton Street Theater on October 11th at 3 p.m. That's Sunday. Come out and experience this journey and this document of a young woman finding what it means to have a home and what it means to not have a home. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jim.
Jimbo.
Jimmy.
Hvala.
Hvala.
Hvala, Jimmy.
Grazie mille.
Come on, come all.
The time is 7 o'clock. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Hard Knock Radio is next.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the first annual Purple Mile Walk, Saturday, October 10th at 10 a.m., starting at the Center for Self-Enhancement.